Bible prophecy is fascinating and exciting. Visions of horses, plagues, heavenly signs, and beasts intrigue us. Are they just meaningless metaphors, or is there significant meaning for us today? A remarkable prophecy is found in the book of Revelation. It describes a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. What does this description represent? Is it a warning of events to come? Who is this end-time beast? Stay tuned as we look beyond today at the remarkable beast of Revelation.
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Prophecies of world domination, powerful dictators, and even the end of the world may come to mind when you hear of the beast of Revelation. What does it have to do with you? Can it affect you? Welcome to Beyond Today. I have two guests with me. We have Paul Suckling, a church pastor with the United Church of God, and Gerald Oss, the senior writer with the Good News Magazine. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Steve.
Good to be here.
Well, when you talk about Bible prophecy, you talk about the book of Revelation, it seems one of the first things that comes to many people's minds is the fact that it's hard to understand. How in the world can I understand Bible prophecy? Can I understand the book of Revelation?
Well, yes, you can, Steve. The book's word itself means revealing. It is a revelation that God has given to mankind. He did it through his son, Jesus the Christ, and that was passed on to the apostle John. And that was when John was taken in vision into the future to a period of time called the Day of the Lord. And it reveals to us what God is going to do at the end of time when he personally steps in to resolve all of mankind's affairs.
So when you look to the book of Revelation, you said the end time, the Day of the Lord, that's talking about somewhere that's just around the corner, just in the future. So it's something that would affect all of us. Is that right? That it's something that's revealed to us?
Yeah, if we're living in the end time, that's definitely true. And it has to be revealed to us. God does reveal to us, you know, his word. And he's not one who keeps it secret. It's not a mystery. That's why we have, as Paul already said, revelation that means to reveal. And so God is very open about what he has to say and what's going to happen in the future and how it affects us directly. And it does affect us directly.
So specifically, we can know. This doesn't have to be some kind of secret. And in a sense, when you begin to think about that, isn't that part of what makes it so interesting? Aren't we intrigued by prophecy? Aren't we intrigued by the fact that we see these things happening and somehow they're related to what it says in the Bible? Why do you suppose so many people are interested in prophetic things?
Well, I think they want to know because it's things and events that affect their everyday lives. It's governments, it's man's relationship to man, it's what's going to happen to me and my family. It's all of those personal questions that people are concerned about. And the book of Revelation gives us an enormous amount of knowledge to do with the end time events. What's going to happen on this earth?
It also has to do with catastrophes. You know, people are interested in keeping safe, their family safe. So they're interested in great catastrophes, as far as we're concerned right now, as to what's happening around the world, whether it be a tsunami or whether it be, as we know, 9/11 or whatever it might be.
Yeah, and so you begin to talk about all those things, whether it is 9/11, whether it is terrorism, whether it is dictatorships, whether it is regime changes around the world. All of those things actually tie in to the book of Revelation, don't they?
Well, they do, because the book of Revelation not only reveals many things, but it describes it in so many ways. And it describes churches, it describes events, it describes the beasts that we're talking about, mysteries. All of these things are revealed as the book progresses.
And so it's a matter of how we open up that revelation, how we begin to understand it. And we're going to attempt to do that today, aren't we, as we talk about the beast itself. In fact, I think one of the first questions that people, once they understand the Bible can be understood, it has been revealed, Jesus Christ did the revealing, it seems to me people are going to ask, why is it important to me? Why is it necessary for me to understand? Why do I need to know this?
It's important for people to understand because it affects their lives. It affects their future. It affects their posterity. They're going to think about their grandkids. They're going to think about their immediate family. So it's vitally important for them to understand how these future events affect them directly. Really important to all the people, and it affects governments as well. They think about that.
Well, there's been so much happening in the world of recent days, not just world events as we were describing with bombings and earthquakes and tsunamis, all of those things, but the general interest in many populations with sci-fi, with movies, with books written, all of these things that are mysteries of the future. And humanity is generally concerned as well as fascinated and puzzled about what's happening and why.
You can't walk through the supermarket without seeing the tabloids that have something prophetic, it seems, in them.
Right.
And so I think the important part then is you've got to get back to the truth. Where do we look for truth when it comes in defining these issues?
Now, you can't have the Inquirer telling you what to do, or the Star, whatever little magazine is out there. You have to look to the source, and that source, of course, is the Bible.
And that's where you get back to the fact that Jesus Christ inspired the book of Revelation. He revealed, he opened up the truth for us. And can we say that it does affect us and that it is important for every one of us?
Well, yes, we can look back on history. We can see what's happened in the past, what God said would happen. We can look back and see that it took place, so therefore we can trust what's going to happen in the future.
And so absolutely, it seems that when you talk about the day of the Lord, that sounds like a scary term. Or when you talk about beasts with heads and horns all over the place, those are things that seem, well, that's mysterious. That how could I possibly understand? How could that possibly relate? But when we begin to look at it very specifically, we can see that God intended that for us to understand something about that will, something that will affect our lives.
There are guideposts all along the way. There are markers all along the way. And of course, the Bible is very clear on those markers. And all we have to do is figure out where those markers are. You know a little bit about history. You read a little bit about history, what's happened, and what God says is going to take place in the future. You can put these things together with, you know, with God's help. And the Bible then becomes clear to you.
Yeah, as Jerry just said, markers through time. And the book of Daniel and other books have prophetic markers of events that God said would happen. And we can look back and see, yes, they happened.
And so they're not ancient writings that have no effect on my life today. These are things that I can understand and that they are revealed. And that with understanding comes the need to be able to understand and do something about these things. We talked about the fact of how people need to know, and it's important because it does affect their lives. Now, is there another aspect to this that affects everyone?
Big time. Has to do with government, is what I'm thinking of here. That government has a direct effect on our lives. There's good
it's
government.
Not just at tax time, right?
No. It's at all times. We're talking about freedoms. We're talking, you know, what we can and can't do and what government can and can't do. So government has a direct effect on our lives. And of course, we see that every day on television or read about it in newspapers.
And that's a big part in America here is freedoms.
Yes.
We love our freedom.
Big time, yes.
And how does that tie in? How does that affect things when you talk about governments?
Well, if people lose their freedoms, they're going to be in uproar. But when you look at world history and times past, and as we know, times present, there are many, many countries suffer under very bad governments. There have been awful governments in the past. The government of Hitler during World War II, World War I, the leadership there. Even more recently, people in Africa under Idi Amin, people in the Far East under Pol Pot. There have been all kinds of wretched governments that have ruined human lives, killed and destroyed hundreds of thousands of people just in the name of their power. So government is an incredibly important thing. And this beast points us to the final governments of this man's rule on earth.
So it is important for every one of us. Government can and does affect our life. It's, you know, some scary things that are out in the future. We're going to talk about those things. We hope you will stay tuned because the Bible does reveal what's ahead for your world. Stay with us.
What is the matrix of meanings of the book of Revelation with its mysterious images of catastrophes, beasts, and demonic traps of deception? Find out by going to beyondtoday.tv or calling 1-888-886-8632 for your free copy of the book of Revelation Unveiled. Find out where history, where global politics, and global religions in control of the world system are leading us all. See how world events are exactly described in the story flow of the book of Revelation in your Bible. Decode the images of the beast as the scrolls in Revelation open before your eyes. Understand how even Christianity will dissolve as the world system explodes in religious-inspired violence. Solve the riddle of the number of the beast. See the signs of the Messiah in the events to come at beyondtoday.tv or call 1-888-886-8632.
We've been talking about the Beast of Revelation. We want you to go online. go to beyondtoday.tv. Order this booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled. Here's that horrible beast that we started mentioning in the first segment. This booklet can help you understand why this is significant for you, why you need to know. It will help you understand what lies just ahead. So we're going to talk about that big subject. And as we ended that first segment, we talked about how that beast, this beast that's pictured in this booklet, how it represents a government. Now, how exactly does it represent a government? What kind of government does this end-time beast of Revelation represent?
The end-time beast of Revelation has to do with a geopolitical system.
That's a big word for me. What's a geopolitical?
How about a group of nations, confederation of nations?
Okay, so that's why all the heads and horns?
That's right, precisely. Okay. And for years, for hundreds of years, indeed 1,500 years, we've had that kind of thing take place in certain part of the earth. And so that is what's going to take place. If you read secular history, if you read the Bible and put them together, you will find that there's only one place on earth that can take place. That's going to be an incredible government. It's going to be the greatest global government, superpower, that we've ever seen before.
So we're talking about this beast representing governments in the past,
yes,
as well as governments to come, and a conglomeration or a geopolitical system of nations that will be ruling.
Yes, and that's Europe, as he's been describing there. When you look back in history, through biblical history as well as world history, you can see the great governments that have been there. Babylon, the Persians, the Greeks, and finally the great Roman Empire that was the greatest of all empires of the time. And that empire was to reform and rebuild and be on the world scene again. And this would happen many, many times, and each of those heads and horns represents a reemergence of that world-dominating government of the Roman Empire, the ancient Roman Empire.
And so you've got a powerful beast. I mean, when you look at the horns and the heads and the teeth and the claws, we're talking about wild animals here. An end-time nation is going to be a fierce nation, one that represents a governmental system. Now, how do we know that's what it represents, a system and the government that's coming?
Bible talks about Gentile kingdoms that in stepwise progression, you know, in sequence, they follow one another, but the very last one is a culmination of all of the previous
ones. Now, is that only in the book of Revelation?
No, you find it also in Daniel chapter 7. You can find it throughout Daniel, but especially Daniel chapter 7. I kind of call Daniel 7 and Revelation 13 twin prophecies because they speak just about the same thing. So you've got different nations, you know, Babylon, for example, Persia, Greece, and then you have the Roman Empire.
Those are the
historical ones. And the Bible is clear on it because Daniel chapter 8 specifically talks about the second and third beast and names them, that they are Persia and Greece. So
we have proof from the past that beast does represent something that was real. And in a sense, can't that help us to understand that it's representing something that's just around the corner?
Yes, and when we come to the descriptions we have in Revelation, it describes the power of those past nations, those past governments, how that the claws of the bear, and a bear tears and destroys, the lion, the leopard, the speed, the wings of an eagle. All of these descriptive terms in the book of Revelation help us understand that this is the culmination of those final governments all together with the last one. Jerry mentioned throughout Daniel, and in Daniel chapter 2, you have a description of an image that starts off as gold, which is a very soft, pure metal, and ends up with iron, which is very strong and powerful. And, of course, that's the end-time system that will crush all other systems.
And so when you look at that, would it be fair to say it's not just political? It's not just a political union. It's not just an economic union. But we're also talking about a militaristic union, aren't we?
Very much a militaristic union. You've got to have the military to be able to, you know, make advancements, be able to go in, as they say about the beast, as Christ reveals about the beast, stamping to pieces. You find that also in Daniel chapter 7. You also find it in Daniel 8, in these different prophecies
that fit
closely together. They stamp the residue with their feet. They're powerful, they're horrendous, and they're fearful. And this last beast, again, is a composite beast and is a culmination of all the others. So he's much more fierce, tyrannical, than any of the previous ones.
And that's just what's on the horizon now as we look at that. So if we talk about the significance for us, mm-hmm, if we talk about our government, what is this government going to be like? What is this world-dominating power going to be like?
All powerful in many respects, except, of course, not
powerful.
How's
it going to treat people?
How very, very badly, because it will have all power given to it from Satan. and Satan will support this government, will put it into power.
What about
give
our
it
rights?
Authority.
What about our rights?
Our rights will be taken away. There will be no rights. You know, yeah. We won't be able to buy and sell very easily, if at all. And, you know, talk about, you know, the different things that governments pass. There will not be any freedom for the people. The people will have to do what the government says. And the government's going to be selfish and demanding and get their way. And it'll be a tyrannical government. It'll be a terrible government that will keep everyone in fear. Of course, they're also going to come up with this idea that we're coming in here and we're going to fix the problems of the world. This same government.
So it's not going to come in necessarily with an astounding, biting, devouring power.
That's one of the reasons why the people are going to accept it. They will accept it with a good thought about it until after this thing develops. Then it's going to become even more tyrannical and it'll be too late for them. They'll be trapped in it and they can do nothing else about it but to follow the dictates of the government.
So in a sense, we talk about government ruling our lives today. This is nothing compared to that.
Well, what's happening in Europe now as it comes together as a socioeconomic combination of nations, and it grows in power, it grows in strength. It's got 100 million more people than America has at the moment, and it is the center of the world, will become the center of the world and the headquarters of this government. A German leader many, many years ago made the statement, whoever rules Berlin can rule Germany. Whoever rules Germany can rule Europe. Whoever rules Europe can run the world. That's quite a significant statement when you think of this beast.
You know, I wanted to mention, if I might, and it builds on what Paul was saying there. Europe is absolutely the only place on earth where this can take place. And the reason for that is if you check the scripture, Revelation 17, Revelation 13, even in Daniel 7, not so much Daniel 8, but those three chapters, prophecy tells us that it has to do with an interface between the military, political head, and religion. And the only place that has ever taken place on this earth like that, and for the last 1,500 years, to be sure, is in Europe. Only religion interfaced with the political powers. And there were kings that came up and were brought down. Religions would bless particular heads of Europe, and they were called holy, and otherwise they were not. But those things progressed, and you had a number of revivals, and were waiting for the very last one. So history is going to repeat itself, and it fits in very tightly with Scripture, with this prophecy about the government of the future.
Yeah, so when you talk about government, you talk about empires and oppression and the difficulty, you can't help but think of this beast mentioned in the book of Revelation, in fact, with all the heads pointing to the past and leading us to the future. We've seen that the beast symbolizes a world-dominating end-time government. But that's not all. The beast also represents something that will absolutely affect your life. Stay tuned.
What is the matrix of meanings of the book of Revelation, with its mysterious images of catastrophes, beasts, and demonic traps of deception? As the scrolls in Revelation open, understand how even Christianity will dissolve as the world system explodes in religious-inspired violence. Solve the riddle of the number of the beast. Find out by going to beyondtoday.tv or calling 1-888-886-8632 for your free copy of the book of Revelation Unveiled. Every family needs a steady diet of good news, so get yours with your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. You'll regularly read about how to apply principles of family success that always work, raise happy children, enhance and solve problems in your relationship, and move ahead by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go online to beyondtoday.tv for the good news. Help your family succeed.
You've just heard about the Good News Magazine. We hope you'll go online to beyondtoday.tv and read it for yourself. Order it. It's free. All of our booklets and magazines are free, so we hope you'll order them. Not only prophetic things are discussed in here, but family issues, all kinds of things that would be helpful for your life today. So we hope you'll get online and order that magazine and get on the website as well. Well, we've been talking about the beast and how it represented a government. Now, that's not all there is to the story. The beast also represents another aspect. What other aspect does the beast represent?
The beast also represents a person. And the person is the front man, as it were, for Satan the devil. And so Satan has, down through the ages, centuries and millennia, has been behind and has influenced many different leaders, despots, tyrants, you name it. You can find it in Bible history. You can find it in secular history. And some of them were extremely cruel. So he's been behind this for Well, since human beings have been on this
earth. So if we summarize real quick,
the beast
represents a government,
correct,
but also an individual. It seems like this world today that we live in, you can't put an identity on something without a face. And so, in other words, there's going to be a face that's put on this government, isn't there?
Oh, my. Very much so. And that face is going to be the beast. You know, we hear about the word beast, but we don't think about it as a person. Actually, in the prophecy in Revelation 13, it talks about how the false prophet is going to cause all of the people of the earth to worship the beast. The image of the beast, that image of the beast is going to speak, is going to, you know, cause people who will not worship him. You know, that's identical with what King Nebuchadnezzar did. He had this great image, and if you wouldn't bow down, you would go into a fiery furnace, you know, about the three young Jews. Mm-hmm. That same thing is going to happen the very end time. And that beast represents, he's the front man, as it were. He is the leader for Satan the devil. Behind the beast is Satan the devil. He wants to be worshipped.
So when we talk about the leader and the ultimate dictator, I suppose you might say in some sense, what is it going to be like? What kind of a dictator is he going to be?
Well, to begin with, he's going to be a very appealing person who people will look to, have confidence in, be persuaded by.
So in other words, if he came in as this terrible tyrant,
he would be out of office very quickly.
Wouldn't follow him.
But once he's begun to solve quite a number of problems, no doubt, he will gain the confidence and the trust of the people, and they will look to him as if he is some great god. And he will be acclaimed as their leader. And of course, once the man has power, and then ultimate power in this sense of the words, he will rule the whole of the beast complex of Europe.
In Daniel chapter 11, it talks about how he is also a flatterer. So his character is not good. He's not a statesman, and yet he knows how politics works. And he is going to be then placed into power by, very likely, the false prophet, and, put their blessing on him, or he will. And then he will be in a position, but he's going to flatter his way in. He will not have the character. He may not even have the statesmanship, you know, like some of the old statesmen that we've known down through history. He'll be sort of an upstart who finds his way in, gets himself into position, and then they will ensconce him. They'll put him into power.
Now, it's interesting that when you look at history, and you kind of hinted at this just a little bit, that starts out good and then turns into something where this man wants to be worshipped and honored. Does that relate anywhere in the past when you look at maybe perhaps the Roman empires? What happened with those emperors?
Well, in the past, the Caesars began as good leaders of their people, and the people began to adore them, and then they declared themselves as gods. And eventually, you would be killed if you didn't accept that the Caesar was the god.
Now, as modern society, though, aren't we way beyond all that now?
Well, even in modern-day Japan, even up until last World War, the emperor was considered a god. A god in the flesh.
That hasn't left us at all.
It hasn't gone from society totally, although that's the Far East and we're here in America. But we're also talking about Europe, the heartland. And once that man has the power and the control, then he will have more power and authority given to him by Satan, so that he'll be able to do incredible things that will stun the world. And no wonder people will look to him.
His very lack of character is going to place himself in a position where he will be then a vassal and, a front man for Satan the devil. His lack of it will bring that about too.
When you get to talk about the power behind the man, you know, it's something that's really awesome when you begin to think about it. The real power behind this person, it's not a political system. It's not a conspiracy. It's more than that, isn't it?
Well, it's Satan being worshipped by humanity rather than humanity worshipping God. And Satan has always wanted that power and control. He's always desired to be worshipped. And from
so
the
Satan's
very beginning,
always wanted to be the one in charge. He's always wanted to be the one that was honored and extolled.
Well, at some point in the past, he tried to move God off of his own throne. And, of course, God wouldn't have that.
Right.
But Satan has tried every which way to get to that point of being worshipped by humanity.
And the point in time when Jesus was being tested here on this earth, you can see it in the early part of the Gospels, Matthew 4 specifically. And among all the things that Satan attempted to tempt Jesus with, one of them was that I will give you the whole, all of the kingdoms of the world if you'll fall down and worship me. So he's sort of giving away his personal agenda, which has always been there. God knows it. And of course, Christ knew it. But we as human beings need to know that as well. There is a hidden, great hidden evil spirit that wants to be worshipped. And if he can get us to worship him, human beings, and he's got this agenda of violence and war, then we will destroy ourselves.
It starts out good, you might say. There's going to be some intrigue. There's some interesting things going on. But that's not the way it plays out. That's not the play. What happens then? What kind of government, what kind of individual is this? What happens as a result of that? Is that going to be something that will be, lead to good times? Is he going to be a benevolent dictator or what?
Yeah, the beast has plenty of history behind him. You know, if you take all of these beast powers down through the ages, you can see where Nebuchadnezzar, do a little bit of reading on Nebuchadnezzar, you can find out how he conducted himself. And some of the emperors...
But ultimately, when we come to just what lies ahead, is it going to be good?
No, it's going to be terrible. It'll be like a tyrant or a despot in charge. And whatever he says will go. And if you don't follow or get in line, frankly, you'll be dead. You'll be incarcerated, put in jail, you'll be persecuted. It'll just be a terrible time for humanity. And it's going to circumnavigate this globe. Everyone's going to be affected by this great beast who will be over the beast power. He'll be a tyrant. And he will hate people because Satan is behind him. Satan hates human beings.
So in a sense, isn't that just a counterfeit of what God offers?
An absolute reversal of what God wants of mankind. God has wonderful plans and hopes for mankind to fulfill. But if mankind doesn't come around to doing it God's way, then he'll never experience those things.
So ultimately, what do we do? The terrible things are on the horizon. This beast power is already at work. What do we do?
We have to get our relationship with God correct.
Right. That's right.
We have to straighten out our lives and do what is right before God and not follow the dictates of some wicked leader, some bad leader, some Satan-inspired leader.
It won't be easy for people to do that. It's going to be a difficult thing to do, it, especially if you're going to hew the line and say, I don't care what they threaten me with, I'm still going to honor and obey God. But when you obey and honor God, you have His supernatural and almighty protection over you. And Satan, the devil, of course, doesn't have the power to be able to overcome God. So you can be protected in the future if you honor God.
This certainly does affect us all, but there is a solution. The story doesn't end there. Stay tuned. We'll be back to wrap things up.
What is the matrix of meanings of the book of Revelation with its mysterious images of catastrophes, beasts, and demonic traps of deception? As the scrolls in Revelation open, understand how even Christianity will dissolve as the world system explodes in religious-inspired violence. Solve the riddle of the number of the beast. Find out by going to beyondtoday.tv or calling 1-888-886-8632 for your free copy of the book of Revelation Unveiled.
The beast of Revelation symbolizes a coming world ruler and his government. It will bring terror on the world that will affect all of us. We're drawing closer to that time, but we don't have to worry. Your Bible tells of hope for those who will listen and act. Ask for our free literature. You don't have to believe just us. Prove it for yourself. Go to the webpage. Order the booklets and the magazine. It will help you understand what God is revealing. Cheryl and Paul, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
When you're looking for good news and the answers, look beyond today and remember this program. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.